Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, January 18th. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
We have only two more days until this world changes, the sky falls,
and hell freezes
and we
over.
Go to hell in the handbasket.
Great way to start the morning. And a good morning to you, too. Yeah, no, yes. The march is
welcome,
planned.
Everybody.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Congress right now, right? Yeah. A lot of questions, answers.
Yeah, Al Franken's giving it the level 4 degree. I don't know if that's what you call it, but he's really giving it to you. Betsy DeVos, who's up for a cabinet position, he's going crazy.
Really?
Al Franken, you should YouTube that if you want to see some questioning. And you know, he was a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
and was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's funny. Yeah. And mean,
right.
And good. So
okay.
It's very funny.
Well, the last description, good, I don't know. He was he was funny on Saturday Night Live. I love
it. No, his art, he's well-spoken, I guess, I mean. So
yeah.
For anyone on either side, it's entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I don't agree with anything he says,
right.
But I agree. So he's questioning them there?
There's different committees have different roles, and he's on one with Elizabeth Warren. So it's just a shit show.
Oh, wow.
It's just great for us.
I know. It's like a circus, right?
And I guess today, one of his education cabinet nominees didn't know a bunch of stuff about the department. So, fireworks
really?
in the Congress.
I don't even want to get up to these news, you know?
I know it. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I don't know what's going to happen, folks, but,
well, in Vegas, they have bookies out.
Oh, really?
Now, they are going crazy. The bet up for 6 month or less impeachment is at the highest it's ever been in Vegas. So bookies are going crazy for this. It's
yeah,
a six
right?
month or sooner that he will be impeached.
Wow. And what's going to happen then? We're going right. to be, another election, another bullshit,
Yeah.
Going through it all over again. So
yeah.
I don't know, but it doesn't look good.
No,
man.
Not
I mean,
when we're betting. We're betting to see if he's gone within 6 months.
He tweets a lot,
yeah.
Which he shouldn't be doing.
No,
because he's screwing up with his tweets
yeah.
big time. Right?
Also, your president.
Yeah, and so apparently he tagged. Ivanka instead of Ivanka Trump
mm-hmm.
on one of his tweets.
Yeah.
So he reached this British woman who has nothing to do with him.
No.
So
and imagine him doing that with a nuclear code.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. It's a little misstep that causes enormous ripples.
I know. And he does it every day.
He does it. He's not even president yet. And it's his daughter. He can't even double check.
Yeah.
I mean, someone double check these. It's terrifying.
He shouldn't be tweeting.
No,
I mean, a
it's
president
dangerous.
Should not be tweeting.
And China's coming out looking like the adult, being like, there will be consequences if you continue tweeting at us.
Right.
There will be. And I'm like, China's looking like the adult in the family. Oh, Lord.
I know.
It's a little crazy.
A new world order. That's what's going to happen here,
Yes. And
there's
going to
be different
Putin,
friends and different enemies.
And Putin called detractors from Trump, anyone who doesn't like Trump, worse than prostitutes. Which is weird to bring up because the dossier, big thing is that he had prostitutes be on him. On the bed. So we don't know that's true. It's unverified.
Yeah, nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, no.
So I don't think so.
So we'll see. But very interesting. He's raising the roof on that White House. I don't know.
So, he tweets a lot, and that's not a good thing, I don't think, especially when he doesn't get facts right, And then I guess he got facts wrong attacking the Today Show.
Yeah. He's not great with facts, and that's what's scary is when you live in a world now where facts don't matter,
right.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Even if you're a Democrat and facts don't matter to you, that's a crazy thing.
Right.
You got to believe in some kind of base level facts or else no one is on the same level and you can say whatever you want.
Exactly.
That's
pretty
scary.
Much the way that Steve Jobs was managing, and they called it the distortion field.
Yeah.
Because he made his own reality, and damn everybody else.
Yeah. And that's just a little terrifying.
Yeah,
because then there's no basis of reality. And that was what I loved in Obama's farewell speech is he's saying he's like, there has to be in society, facts have to be important or else you have chaos.
Yeah. Truth. Truth is important.
Yeah.
Truth is important.
Yeah.
And we, yeah, I mean, we're going to have a president that constantly fights with everybody.
Yeah,
I mean,
he has no
friends
left.
Rather than being on the defensive, just attend to your shit and shut up, you know?
That's what my dad always says when you're in some kind of trouble, shut your mouth.
Right.
And it's like, how do you think that you should continually do this? And do we not think that SNL is going to another do an Alec Baldwin?
Right.
Yes. Do we not need you to say how bad SNL is? No. Like, we know this. And he's still talking about like Hillary. It's like weird.
Right.
Like the election's over. You won. Like, take it on.
I know. You know, look, I mean, we can say a lot of, you know, you said yesterday how we're divided and everything else, and we're split right in the middle, you know. But I don't know. My personal thing is this has happened after 8 years of Obama. Okay. Yeah. Right. I mean, look, he's been in charge. You want to give him credit for killing Osama bin Laden, then also give him the credit for bringing us to this point where we so split up, where people were so pissed that they voted for the worst person we could have voted for.
I don't think you can blame Obama for everything.
But
this.
I'm not blaming him for everything. But I'm saying for the division, how can he conclude anything else? I mean, he was
fully
in
admitted,
charge.
And he did admit he did not sell his policies well. And he also missed a large demographic of people that were really, really angry. I agree with you on that.
Okay,
a large demographic.
But
was
obviously
completely
it's large
missed.
Enough to
completely.
Turn the
and it was
over.
Missed. And it was not well done. And I think that they regret that. I think that's admitted. And he apologized. You know, like 2 days ago in the paper, he says, I didn't sell myself well in certain a demographic.
Right.
And that was a mistake.
Right.
And I think Democrats really have to take a second look at what they're saying, because if it's an elitist only situation, they're not reaching enough people.
Yeah.
So, hey, I hear you. I don't think I also think reality TV created Donald Trump. I think this creation of entertainment and pop culture created Donald Trump.
Yeah, but still, I mean, this is the president, you know, and if people felt very strongly against him, they wouldn't have voted for him.
Well,
but and people do. People, I mean, I've never seen such such backlash,
right.
You know.
Now they have, he's now worse than Bush at Katrina level for percentage. So now over 2 in 5 people who voted for him now regret it. And he hasn't even been sworn in.
Two out of five, like 20%.
Yeah.
No, that's two out of five. That's 40%. No, that can't be.
2 out of 5 people. They say he's now less than 37%. It's the lowest ever of any president coming into office.
Yeah.
Usually you have a nice bump. It's called the honeymoon. This guy's lower than Bush after Katrina, which was we thought you couldn't get lower. He's this coming into the White House.
Wow.
That's a cloud following you around. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's what I want people to understand. This is a problem for all of America, not just one.
We're in the same boat.
Not just one party,
that's
you know?
Right.
And it's hard. It's really hard to sit here and really justify.
Yeah. Biden said today, we have no freaking idea what he's going to do.
Right, right. But, you know, I mean, look, if Hillary couldn't beat him, I don't know. I agree with you.
Democrats have to take a second look.
Democrats have, I mean, I think they're the majority right now. You know, I think there's more liberals in the country.
Get 3 million more votes.
Yeah.
But it's where Obama won, he lost to Trump.
Right.
She lost
right.
to Trump. That's the important part.
Right.
Parts of Wisconsin, it's the Rust Belt where we just missed it. And if we don't take a second look, we'll do it again. Do I think Hillary Clinton was our best candidate that could have been out there? No. Do I think if Joe Biden had won, he would have won in much easier? Yeah.
Yes,
he's a dude who speaks the language and is a much more personable.
Right.
But I also think Republicans have a responsibility because that's who they elected.
Yeah.
They had 17 and you get with this guy. So we're all in trouble.
I know. Well, we won't be laughing.
No, we're all laughing like
much
it's
longer,
all nervous
right?
laughter now. And start crying.
I know. So they have a little list here of Twitter tips you should avoid.
Okay.
Like the real Donald Trump. So
okay.
Tag the right person.
Number one. Don't make a mistake.
Tag strategically.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever that means. And everything else here. So use the quote option when responding.
Mm-hmm.
Thread related tweets. So things like that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we haven't introduced. We're going to have a guest calling in. I think it's them calling in, but we'll pick it up in a couple minutes. I just want to introduce. We're going to be talking to William Fortune, who wrote the book, three books. And the latest one is awesome. So let me go ahead and take this call. Maybe it's him. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Is this William?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Bill Fortune, right?
Yes, you got him.
Yes. Thank you for calling. We had you on the show, and we are so glad to have you back because now your book is out, right? Third book.
Right. Came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations to you. I know. I already saw it at the stores. Ooh, and I'm like, wow, I get to talk to this guy.
Mr. Fortune. So yeah. Is that your real last name?
Yes. Yeah, German. I mean, Little Forest.
Oh, that's a great last name.
I wonder, does it mean fortune in German too? Like fortune in English? Do you think?
There's actually a little village in Germany called Forstchen.
Forstchen, okay.
In German, it's pronounced Fersten, and it means little forest.
Little forest. Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, wow, sounds cool. Yeah. Okay. So now we know the background for the name.
Yeah.
Bill, you wrote a book called 1 Second After, right? That was the first one, and then there was 1 year after, and then the final day, which just came out. So let's introduce for those of you who haven't heard of this. Let's introduce the topic. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what really the series is about?
All right, the three books, starting with 1 Second After, are based on what would happen to America if we were ever hit by an EMP attack, shorthand for electromagnetic pulse. That's created by detonating a nuclear weapon about 250 miles out in space. The gamma ray burst from the bomb, as it cascades down towards the Earth's surface, sets up an electrostatic discharge, referred to as the Compton effect. That overload hits the Earth's surface, feeds through the electrical grid, and literally in that first second would blow out most of the power grid of the United States. Your high transmission lines would melt off. Transformers would seize up. It would literally throw us into the dark. I based my book on factual reports, the big one being, folks can look this up, Congressional Report on the Threat of EMP, which was released in 2004 and again in 2008. Now, here's the grim number. If we were ever hit by an EMP attack, government studies estimate it would take 5 years to bring most of the grid back online, but in the interim, upwards of 90% of all Americans would perish.
Oh, I'm gonna go cry.
Yeah,
oh
yeah. And obviously,
well, other than that, how's your day?
Yeah, there you go. And wow. you took this concept and ran with it, you know, and you created characters and everything. It's just scary. So you're saying, like, in 5 years we could get back on the grid, but it would obviously take decades to rebuild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A Department of Energy study, I actually didn't know this at the time I wrote the book. I came across this study 2 years ago, pointed out that on average, the components in our electrical grid are about 40 years old. They're antiquated. Mm. Here's the really bad number. We only manufacture inside the United States about 15% of the primary components for our electrical grid, which means we get hit, it goes offline, we call up the manufacturers in China.
Oh, wow.
Do you need all these replacement parts tomorrow? They're really going to come rushing to our aid?
God, yeah. I feel like this is... It used to be funny, but when you came on the show before, and now it's not so funny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it makes you feel naked, like you can't really protect yourself.
Right, there's,
you know?
That's the feeling I think that's the most... helplessness.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to prepare?
Yes, a number of things. When I first wrote the book, I did sort of perhaps... several people I know in Congress, the chair of the committee on the EMP report, Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, hit it exactly. But Bill, the problem is, it sounds like science fiction.
Right.
There's no constituency.
Right.
Perhaps a popular novel getting out there could help raise an awareness,
right,
which apparently my book has.
Yeah.
We have a lot of very high-tech people. For example, Dr. Richard Pry, James Woolsey, and others have put op-ed pieces in the Wall Street Journal, amongst others. Now, twice in the last 8 years, bills did go through Congress called SHIELD Acts. Both times they got stalled in the Senate.
Hmm.
Of course, 8 years, the federal government has done nothing.
Mm. Wow.
So, in response to your question, we as Americans, on the other side of it, we have to think about protecting ourselves. This is where this whole thing known as the prepper movement has come up. And let's differentiate here. Preppers are not these nutty survivalists you see on TV who have their mountain bunker, their high-power rifle, and they kind of sound like, remember the old actor Peter Lorre? Oh, I have my guns and the heck is that shit.
That's a good Peter Lorre.
I love that actor.
That's a good Peter Lorre. Yeah.
Preppers are like you and me. You know, we're ordinary citizens who think it wouldn't hurt to have some emergency supplies on hand, be it start out for a week or two, a month, 3 months, that at least through the worst part of the crisis, you can take care of yourself and take care of your family and work alongside your neighbors.
Mm,
yeah. Being prepared at the local level is absolutely crucial, and it's what we as Americans used to do.
That's
and
true.
Even our grandparents who went through the Depression. Remember, Granny always had a bunch of stuff in the basement saying, you know, the Depression could come back.
Yeah,
well,
that's true.
It can.
Yeah, and you know,
and even worse.
That's true, you know, and I mean, and here in California, they tell us to constantly prepare for earthquakes.
Yeah,
and
I wonder
stuff,
if we're,
we create similar situation, but this is like on a national level, right? I mean, you're saying the entire country is going to be brought to its knees, and you say 90% of the people will perish? Wow.
Well, yeah that's I think some people are going, boy, is your guest wearing a tinfoil hat or what? But let's run down what we could call a Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Right.
Both in California, you know, where does your water? I know you're getting a lot of water out of the sky right now, but it requires pumping stations to get the water from the reservoir to you.
Right.
That stops.
Right.
What about sanitation? That stops. What about food distribution? That stops.
Right.
Your highway. A fair percentage of cars are going to short off and will never move again. Command and control. Can you see the cascading effect?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will result in so many people losing their lives.
Absolutely.
It's funny that like the zombie apocalypse is so popular, and I feel more prepared somewhat because I've watched The Walking Dead than like this. Do you know what I'm saying? It's weird that apocalypse got so popular.
Ending The Walking Dead.
That's true. It's going to be the last 10% of you guys just walking down. I have for earthquake. I think I have a peanut butter can and some water. I really got to get my
crap. Last you 2 days.
I got to get you some, to get some stuff.
I know. But, you know, the thing is that you have to really be prepared for this because also there's obviously going to be a lot of crime. People that have guns will be the stronger ones. They'll get their food, whatever. But, yeah, it's just going to be like chaos, like you said, Bill.
Well, you know, 95% of all Americans are going to be like, okay, we're in a deep fix. What do we do? How do we work together? But for 2-5% of the population, this is going to be a very ugly holiday.
Right.
It's like the cops can't respond. National Guard can't respond. I'm hungry. I'll just kick in the door of the next house and take what they got.
Yeah.
This will be a major breakdown of civil order.
That's true. And, you know, and then in your books, you describe also the need and struggle for medicine. And that's why you created the characters. You know, John Matheson is the main character in the book. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot itself?
Sure. I actually said it in my hometown. Black Mountain, North Carolina is a real place. It's up in the Smoky Mountains. We joke here that this is the real Mayberry. It actually feels like that. It's a small town where you know everybody, folks get along. I said it at my college that I teach at, Montreat College.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to make it as realistic as possible. The main character, John Matheson, some people say, gosh, Bill, you're on steroids, aren't you? No. He's a history professor. I base that on my own experience. But he's a guy with some military experience who has moved to this small town to become a college professor. And he's raising two daughters on his own. Yeah, I have a daughter, but thank heaven she felt it.
Yeah.
When I was working on the book, I did a lot of interviewing. The one that chilled me the most, I interviewed my pharmacist. Wonderful woman. Had some coffee with her. Asked her what would happen if the grid totally went down. By the end of the hour, she was crying.
Wow.
But you think about it, who knows the most about people in the community? The two that know the most are your pharmacist and your kindergarten teacher. Because your kindergarten teacher, the kids come and say, boy, my daddy had three of his sisters drop over, and they've been, you know. Talk to any kindergarten teacher, they get too much information from those little kids. But your pharmacist, to be serious. I remember my friend actually crying. She said, Bill, you got no idea how many people in this town will die in a month. Mm-hmm. You got no how many people will be in agony because they don't have pain medication,
wow.
antipsychotic medication,
yeah.
heart rhythm medication. All the things we take for granted require a FedEx truck pulling up to the back of the pharmacy every day. Pharmacies only have a couple of days medication on hand. Mm. Mass panic right there.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's like every time you take this thinking farther and farther, you realize how terrible this would be, you know?
Well, and how everything's connected by such a fragile piece. I mean, it's all electric and it's all communications. And if one piece goes down, it's out. You're done.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what's so scary. And that's what's so scary.
Yeah. Bill,
well,
so
I wrote the books as a warning, but I also wrote the books. Well, yeah, okay, I'm a book writer. I try to write a story that people are going to turn the page and want to read the next book. But I also want to get a message out there. It doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. It's not inevitable. We need to pass a bill in the federal government to require the hardening of the infrastructure. We need a more robust foreign policy. North Korea and Iran have both specifically said repeatedly they will launch an EMP strike on us. I take that seriously.
They have said that.
Yeah,
that. Don't think about it.
Do you think, Bill, that they have the... how far is the science? Is it as complicated as a nuclear? I don't think it would be, but does Iran have something like this? Okay, so they do. We know for sure they have those.
Particularly North Korea. North Korea in the last 3 months, they have announced they have submarine launch ballistic missile capability. They claim they're now testing intercontinental ballistic missiles. They're able to launch satellites. They have nuclear weapons. You don't need the big mega city busters of the Cold War. A bomb not much bigger than Hiroshima, the worst case scenario for us would be three of them.
Yeah.
East the United States, Central, West the United States. We have lost the war in the very first second.
Wow. Wow, how scary. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, obviously, I mean, you've taken this, the thinking, you've taken it far as possible to really think about what would happen and how it would affect every aspect of our lives, you know?
Yeah.
And that must have made you pretty depressed. Over, you know?
Did you develop a drinking problem? Because I might.
But it's a... Go ahead.
I had a personal moment about 3 years back where my daughter needed emergency surgery. Perfectly good health. Everything came out okay. The doctor, as we're talking, he looked at me and he goes, "You're the guy who wrote 1 Second After. I got to talk to you about
that." Whoa, weird.
Well, anyhow, I'm sitting in the computer control room in a high-tech surgery unit in our local hospital. That doctor is supervising through MRI and computer imaging the surgery on my daughter. Another doctor was in the room with her. And it was tough. I mean, if I looked through the glass window and saw that with my daughter on the table, I started to freeze.
Yeah.
But I just kept the eye on the monitors. And that doctor was telling me, "My God, Bill, if your book happened, he didn't say it at the time. He said it later. He said, what we're doing for your daughter would be impossible.
Yeah.
Send her home and pray. That's the best thing to do.
Let me ask you a question. The cyber hacking that we assume is happening, I mean, even both parties have said there's definitive cyber hacking from some country. We don't know where. Does this make you think that it's leading up more to this EMT because it's all cyber-based?
Oh, I'll make the day even worse. There's any number of vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
I mean, EMP is the big one, all right? Using a nuclear weapon to blow off the grid. Cyber hacking. A couple of weeks ago, it came out that malware was found in the electrical distribution system in New Jersey. Could shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A cyber attack. My college offers a major in cybersecurity training, and I sit in the lab with my students occasionally, and I'm watching real time as these different attacks are taking place. You can shut it down from cyber attack, malware, even ground-based physical attack, what was known as the Fresno incident, where somebody shot out 19 out of 21 high-level transformers.
Mm.
If they had taken out the last two, that whole valley would have been blown out and in the dark for days.
Wow.
So there's any number of ways of hitting our infrastructure. Yeah. Electricity is the foundation of civilization. Take the electricity out, you've lost your civilization.
Wow.
Yeah. So really quick, I just want to go through the three books so people know what to expect. So in the first one, you introduce the idea. You know, people are starting to struggle. Tell us what the second and third books are about.
Okay, first book, 1 second after. It obviously, by the title, bad things start happening 1 second after, and it follows this community trying to survive for a year without electricity. Book two, 1 year after. Kind of a giveaway. The story picks up a year later as the survivors in the community are trying to put things back together again. Book three is the final day, which was a message to my publisher. This is a trilogy.
I'm done. I'm done.
There's not going to be 1 second after book 23.
It's enough.
2 seconds after. 3 seconds after.
Yeah.
So you made it final.
I had an editor say, well, why don't we just keep calling it like eight years after?
Right.
The third book hits another issue that's very important to me. Can we, as a constitutional republic, survive, adhere to the Constitution, and rebuild our country as the America that was handed to us? Can the Constitution and that type of system, the best ever created in the history of humanity, continue to survive and rebuild?
That's interesting. That's very interesting. That's almost like a constitutional theory. That's interesting. That's very interesting. There's a theory about people who are stuck in a cave called the spelunking problem, and it's when if you're caught in a cave, does the Constitution affect you guys? If someone has to be killed to like eat someone else,
right?
Does it follow in even that society? And that's sort of like that whole issue. It's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
Does it hold up, or do you completely go back to like Neanderthal world?
You know, you're flashing me to a graduate school course in group dynamics.
Yeah.
Where we did the bomb shelter exercise, 15 people, only room in the shelter for 4 people.
Exactly.
We had to have consensus. We got down to 90. It's a test designed to fail. We were 90 seconds away from, we haven't reached consensus. I was role-playing a colonel. I turned to my professor. I said, I'm a colonel, right? She goes, yeah. Am I dressed and armed as a colonel? And she foolishly said, yeah. And I stood up, and I held my hand up, and I said, I got a 45. Okay. The doctor goes.
Yeah.
The young mother that's expecting goes. The very attractive girl goes. I'm going. Somebody else said, you can't do that. I looked at him, one bang, you're dead. Goodbye.
And that's where the society goes, when there's no constitution.
I flunked the course, by the way.
I'm glad you're not here in the studio. It's so scary.
But the point I was trying to make to the professor is, if one person's armed and everybody else is not, and there's a crisis, can we really have consensus, or does the armed person take over?
Right.
And that's part of what's driving book three. How do we, as good citizens, reestablish a government that we can believe in and
trust
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Citizenship.
Absolutely. Well, folks, the new book is The Final Day, and you should probably read the first two just to know where this one begins and where it takes you, right? I mean, it's not really a book you want to jump into without reading the previous ones.
Yeah.
Although you probably retract some of it. I mean, you probably like bring readers up to speed, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, you don't go to the last book and read the last book.
No, right. It's sacrilegious.
You don't know where the hobbits came from.
Yeah, come on. Right. Bilbo people, Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah. Right, you got it.
Right.
So, yes, I would recommend, if you're not familiar with the series, start with 1 second after.
Right. And that's an amazing book because it will introduce you to the topic and to the dilemma that people are facing and everything, and it's just amazing. I just started The Final Day, and I'm really feeling that this book is, I mean, this whole series is just really exciting, you know? And I do hope they take it to the screen somehow, you know?
If you did have a movie version, do you have an actor that you would, like, love to play John? Like, who would be your favorite?
You know, I wrote the book 10 years ago, and at the time, my first choice would have been Denzel Washington.
Oh, how cool.
I admire that guy. He plays such a phenomenal father.
Yeah, he's a good dad.
That's true.
You know what? Hear that? We'd have to go back 75 years to Gregory Peck.
Yeah, oh, wow. That's he's the best dad. Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird.
The movie Yearling, where he's been phenomenal, very sensitive father.
Wow.
But I can't think of anybody current that would really get me.
Wow, that's interesting.
If Denzel Washington said something, said, I want the role, I would shout, for heaven's sake, go do it, please.
Yeah,
right. In other words, you don't want someone too tough like a Tom Cruise or something like that, right? You want someone who's like a
fatherly figure.
Yeah, and a normal person. I mean, he does have military training, right? But other than that, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I was going to someone like a Bill Cosby, and then I was like, no, not Bill Cosby.
No, not him.
No, Bill Cosby. That's a little off.
I got the first listed there. No.
Yeah, but he was the father figure for a long time in my life, man.
Yeah, he was.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for calling. It's always amazing talking to you, and I highly recommend the series if people are...
Sounds so... relevant, which is so interesting.
Right. You know, and you don't even have to be into thrillers or anything, although it reads like one.
Yeah.
But it's it really examines the issue that is so real, and if you guys were listening to what Bill was saying earlier, it's very... it's very possible.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Right? It's like relevant. It's not funny.
Right.
It's sort of like you need to read it.
And people think that that nuclear bombs are really the ultimate, but I think a nuclear bomb at least would fry everybody. We wouldn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's the aftermath.
Here we're going back to Neanderthal times.
That's right.
Right, Bill?
Yeah, we have to disenthrall ourselves from Cold War, seeing mushroom clouds go up over cities. That same bomb detonated in space, we have found, will put far more damage in the long term than using it to blow up a city.
Right.
That would actually short out an entire nation.
Wow.
Yeah, and they would make us actually suffer, you know, slow death.
I mean, if I don't have Instagram, what do I have? No, I'm kidding.
On Twitter, withdraw.
Yeah, but a lot of millennials, that'd be the first thing they think about, which is so stupid.
Yeah.
They'd be like, my phone? So dumb. But yeah, I mean, everything would be gone.
So everybody go out, pick up 1 second after, 1 year after, and then the final day. Now, the final day, I mean, can you give us any, what we can expect on that one? I mean, are you actually wrapping up a lot of loose ends?
Are they rebuilding?
Or are we going to need the eight years after?
No. This is a wrap-up of the series. To go much beyond that, the point was, what happens with an EMP? How do you start to rebuild? Writing more books on it would have kind of dragged it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do try to wrap all the loose ends together.
Nice.
That third book.
That's
awesome.
Good.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you so much. What do you have in the works? Are you still going to write something? Or because you just mentioned you're in a university. You teach there?
I just got good news a couple of weeks ago. My doctoral dissertation is finally going to be published.
Mazel!
I did a dissertation on African-American regiment out of Indiana that was wiped out at the Battle of the Crater in 1864. I'm also working on a book called Twin Flame, which is how I met my wife and fell in love with her. An entirely different book.
Wow! What is that called? What do you call it?
Twin Flames.
Oh,
sounds
nice.
Good. Well, we're looking forward to that. There's so much more to talk to you about. I wanted to know how you started writing, what you were doing before and all that. But maybe we'll reschedule another one, Bill, and we'll have you call back in. And, God, I wish you were in L.A. sometimes. You could just come in here and we could talk for a whole hour, you know.
Yeah.
Even that wouldn't be enough.
I'd like you to write a book on rainbows and unicorns next. Something very nice.
I used to joke when people asked me, I said, my next book's going to be Happy Bunny Goes to Town.
Yeah, Happy Bunny Goes. I'd be very interested in that. Yeah. 1 second. After, everyone's still happy.
And they're not killer bunnies.
Yeah, super not killer bunnies. No, that's awesome.
All right, Bill. Well, thank you again, Bill Fortune. Always great stuff. And all the best. Continued success to you with this third book. I mean, like I said, I saw it already in the bestseller or new and new books and stuff. So
go pick it up.
It's there. Go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere, and you'll find it. Bill is in the big league.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Thank you so much, and all the best to you again.
Thanks so much. I always enjoy being with you guys, and I look forward to our next get together.
Thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye now.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that when you have to deal with, I mean, this is bigger than us, you know? And then suddenly, who cares about Trump? Who cares about this? You know?
Like,
and how is he going to handle something?
I know,
like
but
this?
The problem is you know, does he piss someone else off enough that that EMT gets pulled? You know what I mean?
It's EMP, by the way. Pulse.
Oh.
Electric magnetic pulse.
So I've been sounding like an asshole this whole
That's
time.
That's okay. He corrected
EMP.
You. Yeah, he said
but
EMP
I
right
I couldn't
after
hear
that.
The difference between I see.
I know.
EMP for pulse.
Right.
I see. Okay.
One thing about the connection, it wasn't great. It was hard to understand.
Yeah.
You know,
so
the
EMT
phone
is
connection.
Just a person who is helping him in an ambulance.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. I'm so sorry. EMP. Okay. EMP. Got it.
Yeah. That's emergency medical...
Or magnetic pulse?
No, the EMT.
Oh, technician.
Emergency medical technician. But this is electric magnetic pulse.
Got it.
And, yeah. You know, the interesting thing is they said that the sun, like sunspots and things like this, can also create the same effect.
The glare of the sun, yeah.
Or
some
whatever,
kind of magnetic
you know.
Pulse or something.
Exactly.
No, so what's funny is I read a book called Station 11 that had the same kind of issue. It was there was some kind of apocalypse and it was like, what do people go? And what was interesting is they had everyone congregated at the airport because it was big enough with a lot of rooms and things and that's the hub.
That's true.
So
yeah,
it was interesting theory that the airport would be good.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's fun to think about it while you're reading a book and,
yeah.
and see how far you can go. But when you think it's real, oh, my God.
It's not so funny.
Yeah. So, but you know what? Like he said, you know, if nothing else, you got to work on the micro level and at least take care of yourself and your family.
Yeah, and your neighbors. At least pass the word around.
Yeah.
Get yourself
and God,
prepared.
We talk about it. We don't do it.
I know.
Maybe I'll just make a day. I'll go to...
That's what everyone says. They'll make a
go
day.
To Costco.
No, that's what they say.
Go to Costco, you know, get some water.
No one's going. This is the thing, a trick. I learned from Glamour magazine actually.
Uh-huh.
Every time you go to the grocery store, just buy two of what you're buying. So if you're buying peanut butter, buy another one so that
that's
you have
true,
it back,
right?
And then do it again next time. So you have these constant backups.
That's true.
So if you
that
buy a couple things of soups, get a couple more. Just don't do 8 million because you never will
exactly.
actually end up doing
and
it.
Put them away. Or
yeah, yeah, yeah. Just
right?
yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So just buy one extra and you'll end up doing that every time.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm like, do I need this?
I know. But you know what? When you really think about it, I think a gun is the most important thing you'll have.
That's
I really
so
do.
Sad.
Because you have to protect yourself.
It's like the purge.
Because people are going to come with guns to take what you have. You better believe it.
God, you're scaring me.
No. And it doesn't. At first, it's just going to be like looting, you know, stores and stuff. But eventually, that's what it's going to come up to.
Yeah.
Come down to.
I just hope I have someone like Rick like leading me around from The Walking Dead because he's very good looking. At least you have someone to look at, you know,
The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even watch it. So, but that's kind of dystopian too, right?
Very much. So it's a zombie apocalypse,
yeah.
and it's certain people. And what happens is exactly what you said: a civil war, not really civil war, but gangs of people hook up and stay together.
Right.
And there's basically like they fight over territory, and but they also have to kill the zombies.
Yeah.
But it becomes a very different world. The order of law is completely different.
Yeah.
But it's also. How many zombies can you see killed?
Yeah, right?
I'm at the end of my watching game.
That's what I'm saying.
So many zombies.
I know. That's what's kept me from this movie.
It's a bit,
zombies,
it's a burn. It's a burn. It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn, this. But it's a great, there's great graphic novels, great books.
And obviously people love it. You know?
Yeah, it's still staying
so
on.
It's so popular.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's based on a graphic novel
yeah,
series,
yeah, The Walking,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, so some people know what's happening. Like I didn't know about Negan, all these people that, but people know what's happening. It's almost like very much like Game of Thrones. There's, you know, George R.R. Martin, he created the books and now they're basing it after. So people have read it and know what's happening.
That's
in
true,
the future.
Yeah.
Huh. But the problem is he doesn't write fast enough. So we've come up to him. Now he has to write another book.
Yeah.
We're like, hurry up.
So I got to the fourth episode of Westworld.
Yeah.
Still no nudity and nothing more interesting happening. I mean, come on.
I know. Some people bailed, man.
Yeah,
I stuck it out. It's I went through a dip. There's a valley. I'm telling you, you're in the valley. You're in the valley.
I mean, all you see is Bernard talking to the girl for two entire
seasons. It gets better. I can only say it gets better.
Really?
You're in the valley, deep within the valley.
Really?
But there is a mountain that rises.
Okay.
It gets to be much more action-packed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I want the story to evolve,
you know?
That's
what I mean. The plot, it does stop for a while, and you're sort of stuck in this valley.
Right.
But the plot moves forward if you give it a try.
Right.
But, yeah, it's a slow burn. I think that's the, you know, Breaking Bad kind of started that feeling of every episode didn't have a lot it didn't do a lot, but you learn more about character investment. But that it's a slow burn, man. You got to stick with it.
Yeah. Whoa. Someone's been trying to call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Tori. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sam and Tori. This is Casey.
Hi, Casey.
Casey, how are you, my friend?
No, I'm good. I enjoyed your last caller.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous.
About EMP and stuff, right? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, he really had me thinking about, you know, what professions would strive with no electricity. And
yeah.
The only thing I could think about is pimping.
Yeah. There you go. You know, just crawl into a hole and die. I mean, what else can you do, you know?
What would be my first food item? I would just want peanut butter, I think, again.
I don't know. I'm not well. I don't do well at stocking food.
I mean, no one does.
My lifestyle, my munchy habits, there's nothing I can stock. There's nothing I can be like, you know, I'm going to save this for tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's what I'll do.
It's gone that day.
I know.
It's gone that day.
Especially the weed, you know.
Yeah, it's gone.
We got to stock up on weed, you know.
Everyone would go to Humboldt.
I'm telling you, the first place is raided is the dispensary.
Seriously. It's actually not a bad idea to think about.
Oh, yeah. That would be crazy. I thought it was interesting you saying that the one person that knows everything in the community is just your pharmacist.
Yeah, that was interesting to me, too.
Yeah. In a small community,
it's true.
That's true. Yeah, because everybody goes there for their
They know the secrets.
Stuff,
yeah,
right.
They know everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's true, Casey. So you're not prepared, Casey, for an earthquake or an EMP or anything like that?
Am I prepared for an earthquake?
Or an EMP attack or something.
I'm not even prepared for my next cable bill. I don't know much more about an earthquake. I don't know.
I'm not prepared.
As a kid, I loved earthquakes, though. I used to enjoy them because there was that moment. I just remember the big one we had, the Northridge one, and I was in high school, and it hit. And all the girls jumped on me at one time. I was like, God, this is what it's all about. I need more earthquakes.
I love that.
We need more earthquakes. No, but it was so funny.
It was like, it helped me through puberty. Earthquakes helped me through puberty. That's what happened.
But it's funny because, like, L.A. people are, like, definitely going to have another earthquake. But L.A. people are very sort of, like, laid back. So no one I know is prepared.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
We never think the big one's going to hit.
Yeah,
you know?
I really don't. I'm like, we'll be good.
And we see all these movies and we still don't buy it, you know?
No.
So we'll see. I mean,
all my friends, we took it like this. The big one's going to hit. And they said California's going to break off from the country. And everybody, it was like a consensus. Everybody like, wouldn't that be cool?
I know.
Like an island.
See, that's what I thought. He's going to think it's turning back into Jamaica, and it's going to be an island, and we just have, like, beach parties. That's the best thing.
Right. That's it. So, Sam, you read the books. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've read the books. The interesting thing, and that's why I invited Bill on. This was the third time, actually. Is because I picked up his first book, One Second After, because that's the kind of books I like to read.
It's a good title, too. It's very catchy, yeah.
And so when I saw it and I thought EMP, blah, 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 you know, dystopian and stuff, I was... the first book I ever read like that was The Stand by Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
It was also... There was a disease and most people died and then there were just a few left.
Just a few.
And this is what this one's about.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I picked it up. I loved it. And then he came out with the second and third book. You know, so
he's such an interesting, smart guy.
I know.
Yeah, he's smart.
He was also making a dissertation about some, like, in the 1860s. I'm like, who are you, dude?
Good guy.
But that's
my brain doesn't work like that.
No, and I'm like, he has too many good. He's too smart for his own good because he's thinking about the stuff that might happen.
Right.
I'm too
but
dumb.
You know what? But thank goodness for people
like him,
right?
Yes,
that we have them that think about it for
to
us
to prevent that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, God help us if we were the ones that had to worry.
My
about
God,
it, you know,
let's have mac and cheese.
1 second after, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Everyone go
one
get
second
it
after for me is like, you gonna call Uber or what?
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is that he did. In past interviews, he was testifying in front of Congress about this stuff.
Wow. Because it's relevant. Again, it's so relevant.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there has to be committees in Congress that we don't know about that are literally for stuff like this.
Right.
For,
and
like,
I was thinking about,
I mean, they really, there has to be.
Yeah, you know, and all the people that are protecting us every day from cyber attacks and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff is real.
Yeah.
I was watching something last night on tsunamis.
Oh, wow.
Which really scared me.
Yeah, me too. That's terrifying.
Because, you know, they said the next big tsunami is supposed to be in the Pacific. and it's supposed to hit the West Coast, which is great. So we're expecting an earthquake, a tsunami, and
an EMP, and Trump, So you put it all together.
And Trump. I feel like my world, I got to go drink. I am so upset right now. Things are not, but you guys remember, it's sunny out.
We're going to have rain over the weekend.
Oh, we are?
Okay. It's going to be sunny till about 5 p.m., and then we're going to have rain
is that
for the
true?
Rest of the week.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so it's going
to
start tonight already?
Yeah, I got to drink fast. Okay. Shots it is. Wow.
But I just called to tell you guys, I called in to the, and I listened to get my morning all pepped up, and then you guys... Yeah. Got me thinking about the end of the world.
We brought you down.
Buzzkill.
Casey, love you, man.
You guys have a good day, though. You guys bring me up.
Thank you.
Love you too. Bye, babe.
All right.
Casey, a friend of the station, works in our building, an amazing guy.
Such a good guy.
A couple of last things that I did want to bring up and we didn't get a chance to. McDonald's is just tweaking the Big Mac. So now there's going to be a Mac Junior and a Grand Mac.
Okay, I heard you say Trump is tweaking the Big Mac.
No.
I put a whole thing. You're saying McDonald's.
Did I say Trump?
No, I don't think so. Totally wrong. Yeah, Let me start again. So McDonald's is fixing it to do what?
It tweaked the Big Mac. So in other words, what they did is they added a Mac Junior, which is smaller, and a Grand Mac, which is bigger.
So you get two?
So now you have three different Macs to choose from.
I see. Well, I'm always going to get the Grand Mac. I don't understand the problem.
Well, the Grand is actually bigger, than the one that they have now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The one they have now is going to be in the middle.
Oh, my God. That's like when you get a medium-sized Coke and it turns out to be a trough.
That's true.
And you're like,
but you know what?
Irrigation system to your Coke. I mean, it's too much.
You know, I mean, I'll eat McDonald's a couple times a year or something. Yeah. Or that's not true. Actually, well...
What's the truth?
The truth is that when I don't have time and I'm really, really hungry,
it's McDonald's.
I'll pick up McDonald's,
because
you don't have to wait.
Yep.
You know, even when there's 20 cars in line, man, in 2 seconds they process everybody.
And I would go to In-N-Out, but they're so trendy. I can't get in there.
I know. There's just too many people.
There's too many tourists being like, how do I do this? I got to say, on road trips, I'm a big McDonald's fan. Although Burger King is preferred for me.
Really?
This is a big fight. If there is an EMP, the Civil War will reign out over which one stays. Burger King or McDonald's, but I my comfort food is a Burger King Whopper Jr.
Yeah, I like Whoppers, but I just feel that the fast food is not what it used to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Today it's like
it's nasty.
Yeah, I mean the hamburgers don't look like in the pictures at all.
No,
you know?
They slap it together and it's
right,
all gross.
You know?
Yeah,
so that's why I don't go much anymore.
And my husband used to go a lot, and it really does add up to some bad stuff in your arteries. I mean, if you go often, it's really bad. But in poor places, that's all they have, and it's cheap, so they end up with heart disease all over the place.
Oh wow! Yeah. That movie. Supersize Me. I never seen that, but
I did.
He got sick, right?
Sick. He also lost all interest in not only anything but sex. He became impotent. He became his arteries were filled. His kidneys were bad.
What?
They said he'd die if he continued going. I mean, it was like within a month, it was bad.
Oh,
so he ate it for every meal, and if someone asked if they wanted to supersize it, the rule was he'd have to agree. He didn't have to ask for a supersize, but if they asked him, hey, would you like to supersize that, he'd have to agree.
Right.
And he ate it for a full 30 days, and it was...
God. That was terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So just eat it one... Make it a treat.
Yes.
Don't make it a... continual thing.
Yeah.
God.
And finally, we're saying goodbye to the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yes.
And,
I have mixed feelings about this.
I know, because I loved circus as a kid, but I even loved the animals. But now that we understand...
It's not... They are just terrible to the animals.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that. And also... Cirque du Soleil kind of took over. You know, I'd rather
That's
see that
true.
In a circus.
And you
right?
can see that without having any animals and still be blown away. SeaWorld, maybe it's run its course.
Yeah. SeaWorld is awful for the whales.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my number one fear in life, whales.
There
so I don't even like talking about it, but I do want them to live a good life.
There you go.
So get rid of SeaWorld.
So you don't feel safe where they're like in custody and stuff?
I don't even want to think about the term or the animal. It's very strange fear, but I really want the best for them.
Yeah.
So I think it should definitely go away.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everybody for listening. Bill Fortune, thank you for calling
Fascinating.
In. His new book, The Final Day, get that and get the first two books before that, 1 second after, 1 year after. I'm promoting the hell out of it because I love it.
You're a fan.
It's good. Yeah. And thanks to Casey for calling in. Tori, thank you as
always.
Every
time.
And thanks. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.